Here's a story that really caught my attention this morning. Pork farmers may have to euthanize up to 1 million hogs by the end of the week because of COVID-19. That's at least according to Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa. Orion Samuelson is joining us right now. Why are they having to do that?
Because there's no place for them to go. You know, unlike an automobile assembly line, you can't shut down hogs or cattle or dairy cattle or even crops. When hogs get to the mature weight, could be maybe 200 pounds, 220 pounds, they've got to be harvested. Farmers have given a lot of them to food banks and that type of thing because they don't want to euthanize them any more than you or I would. So
they're giving the actual live hogs to food banks?
Yes, or finding a local, what we used to call a locker plant, a freezer plant, that could just really take care of the production of one farm. And when you put the feed into them and the medication into them and they get up to a certain weight, if you keep them beyond that weight, their meat tends not to be as good as you would like it to be and you would expect it to be. But it's not something farmers want to do. And of course, with the COVID situation, in the packing plants, the processing plants, there you have to work closer than 6 feet to the next person, and it's just a challenge that farmers have never liked to do. But right. What else do you do with it?
Now, the Smithfield plant in Dakota, that was shut down because of COVID-19. Are other plants being shut down, and that's part of the problem, is that they don't have rendering services?
That's part of the problem because plants in Logansport, Indiana, and I think two plants in South Dakota have all been shut down because the percentage of employees with COVID-19 is quite a bit larger than people in other work and in different locations. So, not easy being a farmer because you have to depend so much on Mother Nature for the weather, and then you have to depend on the crops coming to maturity to be able to sell them and hopefully get your investment back from the crop that you'll be planting within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Orion Samuelson, how worried are you about the supply chain here between the farmers, the producers, the distributors, the stores?
I said probably 6 weeks ago that there is no food shortage in this country because our farmers do it better than anybody else. And so I was concerned 5 or 6 weeks ago that we might have a breakdown in the supply chain from the standpoint of the harvesters or the truck drivers or the people who get it from the fields back to the supermarket where consumers can buy it. But now when you're taking this many hogs out of production, and the one plant that they shut down provides 5% of the pork in the country, right, that gets to the supermarket. So I'm a little concerned, but I'm confident enough that farmers will find a way to keep the supply chain going. And then we've got to find the truckers and the shelf stackers and the other people who get involved in the food chain to move it on to you and me so that we can put it on our dinner table.
And are farmers benefiting in any way from the federal government as a direct result of COVID-19?
Because the CARE Act that Congress passed, 2-3 weeks ago, they are getting payments from that, not enough to pay the entire bill because, like everybody else, they have kids getting ready to go to college and they have expenses that they have to meet. So they did and do need the financial help that came out of the CARE Act, and I think out of the program that they passed on Capitol Hill today. So they're getting some, but they're not getting enough to make up for what they would get in the marketplace. One of the impacts is the fact that we're not driving as much, and so we're not using fuel, and we're not making ethanol nearly as much as we were because the demand isn't there. that could impact the fizz in your beer or in your soda, because the ethanol industry provides about 40% of the CO2 in this country today. And so if your beer isn't quite as fizzy as it should be, or your soda isn't, you can pass that on to the fact that we're not driving as much and we're not buying as much fuel.
I think that's the thing that concerns me most, Orion, is that all of these things are connected, right? The knee bone's connected to the ankle bone and all of that, right?
And you're absolutely right, yeah.
And it does feel like there is some deterioration here, and I just wonder how much more stress we can put on these supply chains, whether especially in the food industry.
Well, especially the food industry, because as I've said forever, that the most basic industry on the planet is the production of food. I mean, we can't get along with, well, we can't get along without water and without air, but we certainly need the food. And that's why I've always said it's our most basic industry for everybody on the planet. And I'm sorry that a lot of the consumers have to find that out the hard way, because they could very well before this is over. But it does give you an appreciation of cow milkers and hog feeders and poultry producers and egg producers and everything else that goes up into, I'm on the soapbox here, but the most efficient food production system are farmers and ranchers.
Orion Samuelson, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to once again talk about the most basic industry for you and me.
Very well said. And here's another sign of the times. Amtrak is stopping its Milwaukee to Chicago train service and replacing it with buses. If I wanted to take a bus, Ryan Burrow, who's covering this for WGN Radio and ABC News, if I wanted to take a bus, Ryan, I'd take a bus. Why are they doing this?
There's just not enough demand right now. These trains don't have enough people on them, so they figure if we just slim this down to a bus and drive people to the stops, it'll be just as good. They say they're going to continue social distancing. People will be required to wear masks on these buses, but there's just no reason to keep the trains going for this particular a route. Now, they are keeping other routes open, and there are still trains moving, but for this one between Milwaukee and Chicago, they just feel that this is the better way to go.
And this will go on till further notice?
Yeah, until late May, May 25th. So it starts tomorrow, Friday, and it'll run till May 25th. I mean, this is a pretty frequented line. I mean, they get about a little bit over 400,000 travelers on this line every single year. So it is going to be a big deal. But obviously, if they can swap out a train for a bus, they're seeing that the numbers just aren't quite there.
And are they renting buses? I mean, does Amtrak have buses? How does that work?
Yeah, they apparently have buses. They're
what?
Called, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, something's got to go pick up the passengers when the trains break down.
Yeah.
So they've got these waiting in the background, I guess.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. And there is a lot of traffic. That is a very important route there, because there are people who live in Chicago, work in Milwaukee, and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to continue to make all of the stops except for Glenview. There's another train route that uses Glenview, but they're going to continue to make all those stops. So it'll probably be just as long to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I would imagine a little longer, but there's no one on the roads either. Also, yeah. Another story out of Wisconsin today. The Kenosha County Sheriff has written a letter talking about county by county that want to open up before the rest of the state opens up. What's that all about?
There's a lot of pushback in Wisconsin right now. They don't like that Governor Evers has pushed back the safer at home order all the way until Labor Day. And so what you're seeing is a lot of law enforcement agents come out and say, look, if you're gathering together, we don't think this is necessary, so we're not going to arrest you. And what the Kenosha County Sheriff, David Beth, says is, look, we swore an oath to follow the law. Please follow the law, because otherwise what you're doing is pitting us against each other county to county. Now, there's supposed to be a very large demonstration in Madison, Wisconsin on Friday. The organizers asked for a permit. They were denied. They say they're going to meet anyway. And hundreds, if not thousands of people have already said on Facebook that they're going to take part in this. So this may be kind of a lead up to that, telling everyone, look, we really got to lock it down now and not let people start gathering.
Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio, ABC News. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.